And good morning. Welcome to another episode from the Time for Health podcast. I'm Matthew Long, and I'm here with my gorgeous co-host, Lewis Pearce. Good morning, Lewis.
What's up, mate? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hot. Very hot, hot today.
Hot out in Cyprus. Don't make me jealous.
Yeah, people listening to this, if you're listening to it during the pandemic, by the time this comes out, hopefully we'll be back to normal. Because we're about...
I was supposed to be flying out to Cyprus today for a holiday, but there you go.
Yeah. I think we've got about six episodes in the bank. So by the time you hear this, I think it's maybe back to some degree of normality. If not, I'm in Cyprus and it's sunny and I'm loving it.
Thanks for that, mate. Thanks for that. Lovely. So what are we going to be talking about today, Lewis?
Okay, yeah. So today we were thinking last week, what should we talk about? And we decided on my 3x3 method, which is basically... it is a simplified plug-and-play kind of coaching method that I implement with my clients, which kind of builds the foundations of how to lead a healthy lifestyle, how to lose weight, how to maintain weight, and just how to have more energy and just lead a healthy lifestyle. So we're going to deep dive into the 3x3 method today.
Excellent. That sounds like something that we could all use.
Yeah. So this is exclusive material that people normally pay a lot of money for. So,
ooh, freebie for everyone. Shh, yeah. Don't tell anyone.
So yeah, fundamentally, leading a healthy lifestyle is very, very simple. And it's massively overcomplicated by the fitness industry. Because you've got the best fat-burning workout. You've got supplements. You've got superfoods. All these different things that people are throwing at you, essentially to get you to buy into their... into their concept and into their products, I suppose, so that you can make money, so they can make money. But yes, those things do play a part. You know, supplements, there are better workouts than others. There are more effective ways to exercise. But as we've discussed previously, it all depends on the individual. So what I want to basically give you today is the facts and nothing but the facts on how to lead a healthy lifestyle to prolong your life as long as possible, based on what's in your control, and how to lose any weight that you may want to lose. Okay, so bear in mind what I'm giving you today. It is going to depend case by case on the specifics. This is very much generalized information, and without actually speaking to you as on a one-to-one basis, I can't actually make it specific to you. But if you just take what I give you today, do a bit of your own research into what I give you, and use a bit of common sense, which I'm sure you have, then...
no, well, they must have common sense if they're listening to our podcast, mate.
I was going to say that, mate. but yeah, if you just use a bit of common sense, then you can implement these specifics into you. But I will try and make it as broad as possible, as well as specific as possible. So the 3x3 method is basically, there's two parts to it. Okay, there's the lifestyle part, and then there's a fat loss part or a body composition part. So the first part is three daily habits that enable you to have a base level of energy, focus, mental clarity, good mental health, good physical health, right? So as long as you're implementing these three habits, then you're going to have a base level of good health, okay? And the funny thing is, these three things that I'm going to tell you are blatantly obvious, but they're also ignored by a lot of people because they are that fundamental. Surely it can't be that simple to lead a healthy lifestyle. Okay, and these three habits are prioritizing your sleep, drinking enough water, and some kind of stress management. That's it. You're probably listening to this thinking, I was expecting you to give me some magic information, but it really is that simple, right? As we've touched on pretty much all of these areas before, apart from water, we've touched on sleep before, we've touched on stress before, and the importance of both of those. Because if you don't sleep enough, then your cravings are going to be high, energy is going to be low, mental health is going to be on the decline if it happens over a consistent period of time. If your stress is hell, you're going to struggle to adhere to any kind of diet, any kind of nutrition plan. You're not going to want to exercise. You're not going to sleep well. And then water, well, we're made up of 70% water. So why wouldn't you drink enough water? people don't. They kind of ignore all of these things because life just gets in the way. So those are the three
core things, isn't it? Three core things that, you know, to function efficiently. I mean, apart from the food itself, those three core things are what we need outside of food.
Yeah. And when it comes to people talking about losing weight and improving their health, they're also hell-bent on the best fat-burning workout and a calorie fucking deficit. That's what they're all obsessed about at the moment. But if you're ignoring your sleep, if you're not drinking enough water, and if you're stressed as hell, it doesn't matter what calorie deficit you're in. It doesn't matter what workout you're doing. You're going to be in poor health. Simple as that. You know what I mean?
And even if you are managing to achieve a calorie deficit, you're going to be struggling.
Yeah. If you're not sleeping right, if you're stressed out, then your body is going to be very resistant to fat loss. You're going to struggle to stick to a nutrition plan long term if you're tired all the time. Your cravings are going to be higher. You're going to want to eat all the time. You know what I mean? So it all kind of ties in. If you look at health and fat loss as like a pyramid, like a layered pyramid, these three things are at the very bottom. If you're not addressing these three things, in my honest and expert opinion, it's pointless. It's not sustainable. Yeah, you've got to address the problem. And the chances are, the reason why you've got no energy, the reason why you're stressed out all the time, is because you're not focusing on these three fundamental habits. Mm. What do you mean?
Yeah, and I can see at the moment, for a lot of people, they would be struggling with your sleep routine. And we've done a past podcast on sleep routine and how to improve your sleep. And for a lot of people I've seen on social media are staying up later because they've got no reason to get up in the morning. So they're messing with their sleep pattern. They're messing with their sleep routine. They're watching telly till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And that is going to have a detrimental effect, like you say, both physically and mentally.
Yeah.
So sleep routine, I can definitely see very important with that. And, you know, you're going to wake up less tired. You're going to feel more refreshed because you've had a good night's sleep, and especially if you're drinking plenty of water and making sure you take time to de-stress.
Yeah. So I'll give you a rough bit of guidelines based on each habit and what I suggest you do as an individual on a generalized basis. So sleep, if you want to go and listen back to the sleep podcast that we did, by all means, it's quite in depth. But if you do that, if you haven't got time to do that and you just want me to give you the information now, that's absolutely fine. So generally, they say you want to sleep 7 to 8 hours a night. But there's sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, it doesn't take into account the quality of the sleep. Like, you could sleep 7 hours a night and still wake up absolutely knackered, like Matt did today.
I know. Coincidentally, I had a good 7.5 hours sleep and I've woken up feeling like I've got a hangover, even though I've not had a drink. Not a headache, just foggy in my head.
Yeah.
Because I know I had a very disturbed night, even though, according to the sleeping app, I slept for 7.5 hours. It was very broken, very disturbed, shall we say. And it'll probably affect me for the rest of the day until I've had another good night's sleep.
Yeah, so rather than aiming for the generalized 7 to 8 hours sleep a night, you want to try and aim for 4 to 5 sleep cycles, okay? Now, the only way you'll know if you've done a sleep cycle is if you're tracking your sleep in some way. And there's a few different ways you can do that. You could do it, you know, Garmin's do it, Apple watches and stuff do that. All basically, any kind of fitness tracker will track your sleep to some degree. Some are better than others. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you which one's better than others because I only use two. I've got like a cheap watch that tracks my steps and tracks my heart rate. And it tracks my sleep based on my heart rate. And then I also use an app called Sleep Cycle, which is only available on iPhones or iPads. And that tracks your sleep based on your breathing. And then both of them will give you a score based on
One because I don't have iPhone. I use one called Sleep Tracker. Very simple. Yeah. The free version is, you know, it's got more than enough information.
Yeah. So if I'm tracking two of them, if I'm tracking with heart rate and with my breath, because they both will vary depending on what stage of your sleep cycle you're in. You know, the deeper you go into your sleep, the slower things get. The slower you're breathing, the slower your heart rate. And as long as those two things are being tracked, you'll have a rough idea. So you'll be able to look at, you know, tracking your sleep with these apps. So you want to kind of be aiming for a decent sleep quality rather than a sleep length. But that's the general idea when it comes to sleep. get yourself to bed at a decent time. Yeah, you can implement some kind of bedtime routine, which I 100% suggest you do, especially nowadays with the pandemic. Everyone's on their phones. Everyone's watching TV till late. You've got the blue light spectrum, which is, studies have shown, is the one that inhibits quality sleep the most. This is why you have blue light filters. So get a blue light filter on your phone, get a blue light filter on your computer, both of which turn on when the sun goes down so that melatonin is being released, so that you're preparing, your body is preparing for sleep. And then at the same time, you can't get a blue light filter, I don't think, for TV.
No, so, you can get blue light glasses. Yeah, which I didn't realise my son has them, because he does stay up late playing on his Xbox. So he has his blue light filter glasses on. And they're completely clear. You wouldn't even notice a difference.
Yeah, I'm looking to get some. I'm not someone that really struggles with bad sleep, though. I could drink coffee and then go to bed half an hour later and I'd sleep all the way through the night. But again, that depends on case-by-case basis. So, yeah, get some kind of blue light filter going on that ties in with the sun going down so that your body is preparing for sleep. You also want to make sure you're getting to bed 90 minutes to 2 hours before midnight, because studies have shown that as sun goes down, melatonin is released into the bloodstream, which is the relaxation hormone, which is the sleep hormone. And studies have shown that melatonin is at its highest level in your blood 90 minutes before midnight. So if you go to sleep 90 minutes to 2 hours before midnight, you essentially go into a deeper sleep in those 2 hours than you will do post midnight. So again, the accuracy of it, who knows, case by case basis, but this is what the generalized studies are saying, that the 2 hours before midnight, you will go into a deeper sleep than if you go to bed at midnight, between midnight and 2 a.m. Yeah. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something I did not realize. So,
yeah, because I'm writing the book.
If he goes to bed about midnight, I may have to bring my sleep pattern forward.
Yeah, so because I've been doing a lot of research at the moment because I'm writing a book, so I want to make sure that the information I'm spitting in there is 100% accurate. So I spent the last 2 weeks doing a lot of research on sleep. That is what a lot of studies and sleep experts are saying, is that the 2 hours before midnight is when melatonin levels are at the highest and when you will go into a deep sleep. So, for example, if you went to bed 10 till 12, that would be equivalent to 4 hours. So say if you slept 10 till 12 and one night, and then if you slept midnight till 4 the next night, they would both equate to the same quality of sleep.
I remember when I was a young man and one of my first jobs was working in a bakery, and there were some weird shifts they were, as you can imagine. And I remember this old boy saying to me, when you get to sleep, sleeping an hour before midnight is worth two after.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I never really understood it until just now.
Yeah, and essentially that's why.
He was right. Obviously, he never based it on any science. It was just something that was a bit of folklore. You know, one hour sleep before midnight is worth 2 hours after. And I could understand it sort of to a certain degree then, you know, basically saying, you know, the more sleep you get, the better. But yeah, but you just put the science behind it. So not only was it a bit of folklore in the bakery world, you know, about sleep, but you just come out and backed it up with science, which is amazing. And that just, I mean, I was when I was working in a bakery, we're looking at over 30 years ago, and that just popped into my head, and I probably haven't used it or heard it for 25 odd years. So yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, so that's the kind of bedtime routine you want to be going for, is blue light filter on in conjunction with sun going down. Try and get some glasses to wear to block out the TV blue light if you're watching TV. And then get yourself into bed for 10 o'clock-ish, and then aim to be asleep by 10:30. And then we've got caffeine as well. And I could give you a ton of advice on sleeping, but there's no point because you probably won't action most of it. So I'm going to just give you one more, which is caffeine. Caffeine has a 6-hour half-life, which basically means that if you drink a cup of coffee or tea or any kind of caffeine, it will be in your system for 6 hours, depending on a person's, you know, ability to metabolize caffeine. So a half-life basically means that, say if Matt drank a cup of coffee at 4, say it was 200 milligrams of caffeine in it, an hour later there'd be 100, an hour later there'd be 50, an hour later there'd be 25, an hour later there'd be 12 and a half. It just keeps going down like that every single hour. So every hour it reduces by half. Now, again, it's case-by-case basis. Like I said, I could drink caffeine and then go to bed 10 minutes later and I'd have no dramas at all, go to sleep. Someone else could drink coffee at midday and still be wired at 10 p.m. It depends on the individual. So, again, this is where the common sense comes into play. How do you react when it comes to caffeine? Yeah, if it stimulates you quite a lot, cut it out early on in the day. But generally speaking, if you drink your last cup of tea or coffee at 4, then you should be fine. You shouldn't really impact your sleep too much. And if you want to drink tea later on in the evening, like I'd like to, I drink coffee in the day and then I like to drink a cup of tea in the evening. Maybe go for decaf tea in the evenings. It still does have caffeine in it, but a lot less. So that's my generalized advice for trying to improve your sleep. Right, and that's good. Yeah, 4 to 5 hours, 4 to 5 sleep cycles. Cut out the caffeine early on. Get blue light filters in play, and yeah, have an evening routine that sets you up, prepares you for bed. Like it amazes me with our kids. We have a set routine for bedtime. You know, bath time, lights off. You know, maybe give them a bit of a massage as you give them some cream to make their skin soft. Read a book. Have some milk. Then as adults, we're just like, watch Netflix till 10, till midnight, and then 5 past midnight, get into bed, and then wonder why you're lying there with your eyes wide open, struggling to sleep. You know, get some kind of routine, like you do with your children. Yeah, and that'll help you get to sleep. So that's my sleep tips for you. Should we move on to the next one?
I think so. Yeah, I think you've covered it all.
Yeah, excellent. So the next one we've got is water. Now, I'm not going to go massively into water, first of all, because I'm not an expert on water, but it's obvious water is good for you. You need water. Yeah, you can survive without food for a long time, you can't survive without water for a very long time. Yeah, and there's a reason for that. The amount of people that I know that come to me lacking energy, and as soon as I say to them, look, drink 2 liters of water a day. Yeah, for the first week, you may need to go to the bathroom quite a lot, but as your body starts to adapt to that level of water, it will then get used to having that amount of water. Like literally, I drink 3 to 4 liters of water a day. I probably drank 2 liters this morning already, and the time here is 11:30. I've probably only been to the toilet twice in that time. I've been up since 5. I've drunk 2 liters. So your body does adapt to that level of water. But when you're essentially, when you're not drinking water, your body kind of, your body stores it because it thinks, all right, this water's not coming. They're not giving me enough water. I need to store it because your body needs water to process carbohydrates. Yep. So if you aren't fueling yourself or topping up your body with water, it's going to hold on to it. It's as simple as that because it needs it for bodily function. So when you first start increasing the water intake, it's still storing all that water. So it's going to have to get rid of it somehow. So, you know, you have to go to the toilet. But as you start consistently increasing water intake, your body will be like, okay, cool. We don't need to store all this water because he's giving us it or she's giving us it. Okay, so we don't need to store it. It's constantly coming into the body so we can get rid of it. That's why when you start dieting and living a healthier lifestyle and drinking more water, people will then generally lose a lot of weight in the first week. And it's because your body is getting rid of all this water it's been holding because it doesn't need it anymore. That makes sense, Matt.
Yeah, it does. And I can imagine for the first couple of days, you might feel a bit bloated drinking that kind of water. Then your body's going to realize, well, if I'm getting all this water coming in, I don't need to hold on to it. Exactly. And it might take a couple of days for that to happen. But yeah, I can totally see how the body would store the water and why it would. And then why it would suddenly realize, well, I don't need to now. And then start expelling it, getting rid of it.
Yeah. And you got to realize that the body is 70% water. So if that doesn't say it needs to drink more, I don't know what will. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose we do get into the trap of thinking, well, I've had plenty to drink today because I've had 3 cups of coffee, 2 cups of tea, a herbal drink, whatever. But a lot of these are diuretics. And if your body's being forced to expel water, it's going to try and hold on to it.
Mm. Yeah. So generally speaking, you want to be consistent with an adequate level of water intake, just so your body's got the amount it needs to do all the bodily functions that it needs. You know, you've got that base level of hydration for it to function optimally. Yeah, you'll find that you'll have better mental focus, better clarity, you'll be, you know, more efficient, you'll make better decisions, you'll be able to deal with stress less, and then because you're dealing with stress better, you'll be able to deal with stress better, cortisol levels are lower, you know, you've incorporated your bedtime routine, all these things, then they all kind of tie into each other. Yeah, so make sure you've got an adequate amount of water. Again, I could say, oh, drink a specific amount of water, but again, it depends on the person. Just use common sense. Just go for a wee and look at the colour of it. Yeah, if it's bright yellow, then you probably need to drink more. If you go for a wee and it looks like water, probably drink a bit less. But your wee wants to generally look like a light straw colour. And as long as it looks like a light straw colour, happy days. And you will, as you're consistently drinking a certain amount of water, you'll know how much you need. I don't measure my water. I just drink about 3 liters a day and I'm adequately hydrated all the time. Yeah, I'm 6'1". Sarah is like 5 foot. She drinks about 1.5 liters a day and she's fine. So look at you as an individual, how much water you need to have a light colored, a light straw colored wee consistently through the day. Okay, so that's your water.
I've just done a quick Google search, even though there are other search engines out there. For the urine chart. I remember seeing this urine chart when I was in the military, and in every toilet when we're out working overseas in desert-like countries, they always seem to stick up a urine chart to show you the colour of what your urine should be. And they always used to say things like, your urine should be this colour by 10 o'clock in the morning. But of course, when you've just slept for 7-8 hours, your urine's going to be a little bit darker because you're not hydrating through sleep time. And you do use a lot of liquid during the night when you're sleeping for repair work and everything else. And the color chart is very simple. It has a gradient from almost completely clear down to a very dark yellowy orange, and tells you where you should be in between on a you know, to be hydrated. And something I'd learned from the military days was that if you do become dehydrated, it takes about 72 hours for your body to recover. So it doesn't just, you know, you can't just drink a pint of water and think, now I'm hydrated, because your body will just push a lot of that through and you won't absorb it. So it does take a couple of days to fully recover from dehydration. Now, dehydration is a medical term, is when you are, you know, obviously quite extremely dehydrated, lack of, you know, not taking enough water. On average, most people are only mildly dehydrated on a day-to-day basis, but staying mildly dehydrated on a day-to-day basis does have detrimental effects. But to be fully hydrated, and especially after heavy exertion like sport or something, then you do need to look at a probably 48 to 72 hour period of making sure you're hydrating to recover from that particularly strenuous activity or anything. Or it could be, a night out on the drink where you get severely hydrated. It does take a few days to recover physically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you can just look up that urine chart. So I did urine chart on the images bit, and there's loads of examples, and they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah. I'd probably say that 90% of the population of the UK or whatever country you're in, most people are dehydrated to some degree because they don't drink enough water. It's very easy to become dehydrated, you know, not at a level where it's going to kill you, but at a point where, you know, you're not drinking enough. Yeah. So if your urine is like a dark yellow, even briefly, then you are dehydrated. It's as simple as that. So just keep an eye on your wee. Look at how much water you need to drink to have the right coloured urine, and just consistently drink that amount. Yeah. And some advice I give my clients who maybe struggle to drink water, and I actually give them this advice with anything that they do in regards to hitting step targets and stuff like that, is get a massive chunk of it done in the morning. Yeah. If you can drink most of your water intake in the morning, get most of your exercise done in the morning, then you're more likely to hit your targets. But also means that with water, you don't want to be drink. You don't want to get to the end of the day and still have a litre to drink. So you drink a litre and then you'll be up all night, go to the toilet and then sleep bad. So when it comes to water, try and smash out a massive amount of it. Like, I've already drunk 2 liters and it's lunchtime. I'll spend the next 10 hours drinking the next 1.5 liters. And it means that when I go to bed, I don't wake up in the night, I need to go to the toilet. I'm adequately hydrated. And yeah, that's my advice when it comes to hydration levels. Happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. And then the third and final part of the first part of the 3x3 method is stress management. So obviously sleeping adequately is going to help with stress management, better mental focus, yeah, better mental health. Drinking water is also going to help with stress management in regards to brain health, yeah. The better mental focus you've got, then the better you'll be able to deal with stressful situations. There's no coincidence that people with poor health physically also have poor mental health. Is it because you're stressed, you're poor mental focus, you can't function and assess the day-to-day stresses of life effectively. So you want to have some kind of stress management in there. And what I get my clients to do to keep it nice and simple is something called creating space. So you want to look at your brain as a goal in a game of football. Okay. People and things in day-to-day life are trying to kick the ball into the goal. People are triggering you. Yeah. Idiots that you come across in the street, people that can't drive properly, traffic jams, people being rude to you, all these different things are trying to trigger your brain into some kind of reaction. Okay? Now, creating space is basically you've got a goalkeeper in front of the goal. You've got this force field around your brain, and you're trying to basically protect the goal. And just like in a game of football, you give the goalkeeper a rest after 90 minutes. In any kind of sport, you have a rest after a period of time. And that's what creating space is. Creating space is giving your brain the opportunity to rest, recover, recharge, so that it can rebuild that, you know, that force field around itself, so it can better filter out those triggers and deal with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you know, with what I do, as you know, I deal with a lot of people with stress problems with the hypnotherapy side and NLP and mindfulness. And it is a matter of being proactive when it comes to mental health. We can sit there in our own depression and wallow in it and not do anything about it, whether it be anxiety or stress or whatever. And it's only when we actually become proactive with it that we can actually start doing something about it. So we do need to, you know, and this is where your system comes in with a routine and actually having tools to, you know, to take control.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. But it's about, someone asked me the other day, what is balance? I was getting interviewed for something and they asked me, what do I think balance is? And I think the balance is just, it comes down to one thing, not losing control. That's what balance is, especially life balance. And stress management is a massive, massive part of maintaining control within your life and not feeling overwhelmed. Like Matt said, it's being proactive rather than reactive. You may not feel stressed, yeah, but if you can better, you know, recover your brain when it's not stressed, it's going to deal with those stressful situations better. It's like when you're doing a workout, that is a stressful situation. If you run marathon after marathon after marathon after marathon, you're going to die. You'll be dehydrated. Yeah, you'll be exhausted physically, mentally. You'll be drained. You will die eventually if you keep running. Yeah. That's what you're doing when you're not doing some kind of stress management, when you're not creating space, because your brain is constantly under stress. Yeah. And it needs time to recover, it needs time to adapt. And you'll find that the more space you take, like for example, for me, I meditate every single morning. Sometimes it's just 5 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes. It depends. But every single day, without fail, I will meditate. Yeah. I'll also take time in the afternoon at some point to read my book, to take some space from the rest of the day. And my life right now has been more stressful than it's ever been. I've got like 20 clients I'm dealing with. I've got a business to run. Evelyn's at home all the time. She's 3 years old. She's a handful. Yeah. I've got all these things going on. Obviously, the stresses and strains of pandemic that's going on, the uncertainty. But I can hand on heart say, I am less stressed than when I was a single man living in the block in the military. I'm less stressed now. And that's because I've been proactive in my stress management, in taking the downtime to repair and recover so that I can better deal with those stressful situations when they peak. And you'll generally find that as life goes on, stress will get higher and higher. You know, as you get promoted in your job, you have more responsibility, you have kids, you have a mortgage, you have all these different things going on in your life. If you can deal with your, if you can implement some degree of stress management proactively, you'll look back 10 years from now and you'll be like, my life's way more stressful now, but I'm dealing with it way better. Or it should be more stressful now, but it's not. And it's because you've adapted to the stress. You've taken time to give yourself a rest. Yeah. When you're training for a marathon, you don't just run a marathon continually. You will build up to it so that when you actually run the marathon, it's a lot easier. And that's what you've got to do with your stress management. Create some kind of space.
That's it. And it's perseverance with it, isn't it? It's finding what's good for the individual as well, because everyone has their own way of dealing with stress. Some people like meditation. Some people like to do exercise to de-stress. And it's finding that balance for you that works.
Exactly. I've got some clients who will just go for a walk, 20-minute to an hour-long walk every single morning. I've got some clients who do yoga. I've got some clients who could go on their bike. You've got a stationary bike in their house. They just put the headphones on, listen to some nice music. And it's, all that stress management is basically you removing yourself from the stresses and strains of life periodically. As all stress management is. And how you choose to do that is down to you. It's a right or wrong way to relax. If you like to relax in the bath.
You've got to try different things, see what works.
Yeah.
And be proactive with it.
Yeah. Like for some people, they have a busy mind. And sitting and meditating is actually quite stressful for them because their mind's racing. But for me, I'm a massive fan of the quiet. Yeah, I don't find anything more enjoyable than silence. So in the morning, I'll get up at 5 a.m. because that's the time I've got to get up to have some degree of bloody silence in this house with a three-year-old that gets up at fucking 5:30. And I will just sit for 15 minutes, meditate in complete silence. And that's what does it for me. For some people, that's their idea of hell. It depends on you.
I like going out and going out in the countryside. You have that silence out there, but it's not complete silence. It's the sound of nature, birds singing, whatever. And, you know, the wind blowing through the trees, it's all very relaxing for me. I enjoy that side of it. And I get the same sort of thing from when I do kayaking. For me, that's and I can't do it every day because it does take a little bit of planning and it does take a few hours. But getting out once, twice a month, kayaking is really good for my mental health.
Yeah.
It's a combination of exercise and being in nature and having that quiet, getting away from everything.
And yeah. Getting off your phone.
Yep, exactly. For me, it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
You can't hold your phone when you've got two hands holding your paddle. So.
Exactly. And something that a lot of people deal with, or I've been asked a few times, and I actually got asked in that same interview, is how do you deal with overwhelm? And overwhelm is basically your stress peaking is overwhelm. And I will go and play with Evelyn. When the parks are open, I'll go to the park. Obviously, they're shut at the minute. So now all I'll do is I'll go on the trampoline with her. She'll do my makeup for a bit. Yeah. Or I'll get in the pool with her. Something that means that I actually act like a child. Because how many kids do you know are stressed out? None of them. And what do you think the coincidence is? They play all the time. And as adults, we need to play. We still need to play. If you're stressed out and you're overwhelmed, just like Matt's kayaking, go and do something that is playful. But that is probably the simplest and most enjoyable way for anybody to create space. Go and find what your hobby is and play.
Yeah, and play and laughter and being funny. And it's all, we go back to that stress hormone and all the rest of it. You're going to tip the balance in your favor, raising all the good hormones and lowering all the bad hormones.
Yeah. And again, it's all these three habits tied together. All three of them are basically trying to improve mental focus and reduce stress. That is what all three of them are doing. And that, in my opinion, is the key to good health, is reduce stress. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stress, minimal stress, I think, is a sign of good health. Yeah. Because when I had an abundance of stress in my life because I didn't know how to deal with my emotions, because I wasn't drinking, I wasn't exercising, I was eating shit, I was staying up late, getting up late. That's when my health was at its worst. That's when I was being told by the dentist that I needed to reduce my stress levels because my teeth were going to fall out. I was that stressed. Yeah. Blood pressure was that high that my gums were just bleeding. And as soon as they touch him, and he was like, look, dude, if you don't deal with your blood pressure, your teeth are going to fall out. Some of that. And that was when I was most stressed. So implementing good sleep, adequate hydration, some degree of stress management, it's going to help you reduce your stress as a whole, better sleep quality, and build that foundation of good health that you need to achieve any kind of body composition change. Yeah. There's no such thing as the best workout. There isn't such thing as the best diet, the best supplements, the best fucking superfoods. None of those matter if you're stressed as hell, if you're not sleeping. So we gotta do part three in another one, because we'll be here all day otherwise.
Well, I mean, that makes all perfect sense to me. You know, your 3x3 method, those, you know, sleep, water and stress management, it is the cornerstone. It's the foundation that you need for absolutely anything in life, whether it be weight loss or progression in career or whatever. If you're not dealing with those three foundation stones, then, you know, the whole thing's going to end up tumbling down on you. So, you know, you've got to, if, you know, I mean, looking at this, I've never seen your 3x3 method. I've never seen it explained before. So it's completely new to me. And I'm looking at this thinking, you know, this is exactly the kind of thing that I deal with my clients on a day-to-day basis when we're talking about stress, anxiety, depression, is having that sleep pattern, having that exercise, which, you know, helps with stress management. And of course, something I've never really focused on with people, although I do mention it, is their water intake. You know, just increase your water intake. And it does help the body from stressing. Because if your body's dehydrated, it's under stress.
Exactly.
And so is your brain, even though you may not consciously realize it. If you're dehydrated, your brain is under stress. It doesn't function as efficiently. So we do those three foundation things for me. It's what you need to build on. If you've got the foundation set, the rest of it's going to be a lot easier and a lot more stable, and it's going to function a lot better for you, whether it be weight loss, increasing fitness, work life, you know, family life. Everything's going to be built on that foundation.
Yeah, and you can literally tie anything back to not being able to stick to a diet, to not being able to stick to a training program, having poor relationships, setting bad examples to your kids, to all your different negative areas of your life. You can tie them all back to your not doing one or all of those things.
And those three things, if you've got that sussed, you are going to have more energy naturally. You know, you are going to feel like you want to eat better because you're not stressed. And as we know, and I've mentioned it loads of times, how the stress hormones will give you cravings for sugary and fatty foods. So if we've eliminated the stress, we're drinking more water, and we've got a good sleep pattern, the world's your oyster. You can achieve anything you want to.
Exactly.
It's really a solid foundation for anything.
Yeah. Stop worrying about the best workout and the best bloody diet, and just lead a healthier lifestyle. Simple as that. Yeah. It's not even difficult. Stress management could take literally 10 minutes a day, if that. Yeah. Sleep should be a priority anyway. Yeah. And water, you can do that throughout the day. These three habits take no skin off your nose. They will only improve the life.
They're simple to implement. And if you are one of those people who has trouble sleeping, then do please go back to our podcast on sleep. And we've got loads of tools, loads of things in there, loads of information that will help you get the sleep routine to suit you. But mate, that was a brilliant podcast. I've really enjoyed that. So thank you.
It's only part one of the 3x3 method, mate. There's another three things.
I think we're going to have to leave that till next time then. Keep them hanging on, man.
Yeah, we'll do that next one, all right? Yeah, build upon the foundation. So spend the next week implementing those three things, and then next week I'll tell you what to do next if you want to lose weight.
There you go. Something I need to do, and I look forward to it.
All right. See you next week.
Yep. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.